Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. We're live right here on Sports Grid. It's the early line on a Thursday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside here over the next 2 hours with a lot to get to. DRS, how you feeling?
Yeah, feeling good today. We got a Thursday night football game. We don't know who's playing, but you know what you know? Kevin and Donnie here for the next 2 hours. That's who's playing right now.
And some big news, as you mentioned there. We will get to that in just a moment. But the biggest news to start off, the 7-7 top headlines, comes out of Las Vegas as the Raiders have made the decision to bench Derek Carr. They tried to put some spin that they want to see Jared Stidham. No, they don't. They're definitely moving on from Derek Carr when this season is over. If he was injured in either of the last two games, then they would have to fully guarantee his contract. Let's not pretend here that anybody cares what Jared Stidham brings to the table. It looks like Derek Carr will be out of Vegas sooner than later.
It's a wild scene out there in Las Vegas right now with a lot of turmoil, and we're going to spend quite some time talking about the fallout for the Raiders. They did have some promise, Kevin, coming into the season. That quickly dissipated here, but my goodness, it looks like you might be starting from scratch in 2023.
Or maybe they'll try and secure the services of the GOAT. A lot of options out there,
it feels like this offseason.
We also got an update from the Miami Dolphins around the quarterback position as Tua Tagovailoa will be missing this week's game against the New England Patriots because he is in concussion protocol, which leaves Teddy Bridgewater as their starter in a very, very important game.
One of those teams, Kevin, about a month and a half ago, we said you do not want to face the Miami Dolphins down the stretch or into the playoffs. Now, apparently, you want to face the Miami Dolphins down the stretch and keep them out of the playoffs.
And I do think that is the interesting thing. A group that was once 8-3 could potentially lose out here and miss the postseason, injuries and all. That would be a really tough pill to swallow for this football team with where they at one point were fighting for the division with the Buffalo Bills. As you mentioned off the top of the show, the Thursday night game here between the Dallas Cowboys and the Tennessee Titans continued to lose juice with each game that the Tennessee Titans played. And then the Titans took about all of it out. Derrick Henry, doubtful, with a number of starters already listed as out for this football game.
Sounds like an NBA midseason game right now. I think they actually made up the injury to Derrick Henry at this point just so the NFL couldn't fine them for just sitting a player on a primetime game. Yes, hip hurts, not going to play this weekend. Okay, seem fresh and ready for Jacksonville.
They are a 12.5-point underdog at home. The total is 39.5. The Titans team total tonight, a 13.5. We'll see if anybody wants to sign up for that kind of pain. Bowl season is picking up in a major way, and the game between Oregon and UNC delivered the Holiday Bowl. A comeback of double digits for the Ducks secures them a 1.28-27 victory, Donnie.
Yeah, you had some fireworks yesterday, but maybe not enough fireworks in that Oregon game to push it over the total, but a couple interesting finishes nonetheless as we kick off the real start of bowl season now.
This was a really fun game to watch. As you mentioned, though, this game had the highest total of any before the bowl season got underway. Stayed well under the number, despite the fact that Oregon had opened it up looking really strong. They needed to come back. They were a big-time favorite in this game, though. This was a comfortable cover for Tar Heel backers. The game, though, that had the fireworks was Arkansas and Kansas. Firstly, we bring our radio audience into the fold here on this Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside, the early line, Sirius XM, channel 159. As we saw KU and the Razorbacks get into overtime, the two-point conversion shootout ensued, and it was Arkansas that was able to hold on to this one by a slim score, 55-53.
Yeah, imagine one quarterback throwing for 544 yards, the other one throwing for 287, but the guy with the 544 actually took the loss in this one. This was entertaining all the way through with a lot of point spread shenanigans late in that fourth quarter for sure, but Arkansas holds on with 55 points, and they needed every bit of that in the victory.
KJ Jefferson chipped in 130 rushing yards on the ground with two rushing touchdowns in the victory. A really, really fun set of games, and today should follow suit. Also, we had the NBA in action last night, and the Brooklyn Nets secured their 10th win in a row. They went out over to Atlanta and played a Trae Youngless Atlanta Hawks. Only won the game by one, but they'll take it. Kyrie Irving with a big fourth quarter, leading the way with 28 points.
Yeah, both Durant and Kyrie Irving played well in that game, but also I think you said what most people are listening to. A Trae Youngless Atlanta Hawks. Ooh, sounds good for the future, K-Dub, doesn't it?
Perhaps that could very well be the case. I still like to think that we are many, many years away from that happening. But hey, I wonder if DeJounte Murray was like, ooh, back to my San Antonio days, 24-9-8, filling up the stat sheet. This was a good time. I enjoyed myself. Speaking of somebody filling up the stat sheet, Zion Williamson set a career high in points against the Minnesota Timberwolves in a one-point victory, 43, went to the line 19 times, made 14 of those as the Pels go to 22-12.
Yeah, this is the ceiling that we were hoping for Zion, as long as he stays healthy. Every bit explosive. And how about this? He doesn't care about anything outside the paint. Dominant in the paint for Zion last night.
No doubt. Rudy Gobert, not dominant in the paint. In this game, or really any game this season, that has been an ugly start to his career in Minnesota. We'll talk about Derek Carr and the Raiders next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big news out of Vegas yesterday involving the Raiders quarterback Derek Carr. The decision made to bench Derek Carr over the final 2 weeks here and make way for Jarrett Stidham as the starter. Look, I know the Raiders can't really openly say, hey, we're doing this because we are going to trade or cut Derek Carr in the offseason. But that is exactly what is going on here. And that's okay, by the way. That's not a slight to the Raiders. The fact that his contract is going to become fully guaranteed if he were to be injured in any of these final two games makes this a no-brainer. You are going absolutely nowhere. This season is a lost year due to a number of blown leads. And the fact is, someone, when seasons are as disappointing as Vegas, usually has to wear the blame, or there's a change that has to come. And they've made it very clear that Josh McDaniels is going nowhere. So it looks like it's going to be Derek Carr going somewhere. I guess the start of this, Donnie, is, do you have an issue with them making this decision to bench Derek Carr for the remaining two games?
I don't. It sort of points that needle to a healthy franchise, if you will. If you know he's not going to be your guy, and the only way he would be your guy is if he gets injured and you have to pay him and he's not even going to play at that point, that's devastating here. And also remind ourselves here, if you're looking out here and saying to yourself, well, what's the modus operandi, so to speak, here for the remaining two games for the Raiders? Lose! put your best players on the bench and lose because nobody's going to care over the next two games in 20 years. Hey, man, who loved the way they finished that season out, man. Remember 2022? Yeah. The fact that they won two more games and blew 12 positions in the draft was fantastic. No, your only job is to lose here. So I actually like what they're doing right now. But boy, oh boy, Kevin, I question the future of what they're actually going to do.
So that is why this is a long conversation to likely be had on Vegas. We will have as much of it as we can here this morning. But moving on from Derek Carr is going to create a vacancy in that own building. And where Derek Carr can land is a lot of, you know, it's an exciting prospect. I might be higher on than others on Derek Carr. I'm curious to see where you land and how you rate him, DRS, because he's obviously having himself a down season. Well, this is a team that pushed a lot of chips in forward this year, bringing in a Devontae Adams, bringing in a Chandler Jones, hoping that they can make the playoffs. And the sad part of it is they would be in the playoffs if they didn't blow three different 17-plus point leads. That doesn't include any other blown leads. Should never be blowing 17-point leads, much less three different times like the Vegas Raiders did. I don't think Vegas is moving on from Derek Carr in an attempt for a rebuild. There's been a lot of points towards Tom Brady's tenure in Tampa Bay coming to an end. I believe Brady's tenure in Tampa is coming to a close at the end of this season. I do not think his football career is coming to a close. I think the Jets are on the table, but certainly I think so the Vegas Raiders would be as well, and that being able to reunite with Josh McDaniels. And I am sure that Josh McDaniels, with maybe his job on the line next season, would not be hesitant to put his faith in Tom Brady's hands. There is an idea there, I think, Donnie, that could very well work out to see Brady end up in Vegas.
Let's take this as a two-part, you know, question here. Let's look at the Vegas Raiders are doing right now. And I said, I completely agree with it. If you can't make the playoffs, tank, because it's important that you get the better draft positioning and you can retool your franchise for next year. But why are we doing a one and done here on the Vegas Raiders, Kevin? What happened here? You went out and got Devontae Adams as a top tier wide receiver. You have Derek Carr, who's still in the prime of his career. Now, regardless, he didn't play as well as he needed to play this year, and I understand that. You have Josh Jacobs as a running back. You re-sign, you know, your slot guy, Hunter Renfrow, and also Waller to big deals. And you say, this is going to be our franchise over the next 4 to 5 years with a brand new head coach. And we're selling after 1 year, because keep in mind the ramifications here from the Raiders' perspective. We're moving on from Carr. Thought it was going to be our franchise quarterback. He's not going to be that. And how about here? Oh, Josh Jacobs. Remember when we joked about in the preseason, the opening game in the Hall of Fame? Like, this guy's running 15 times in the first quarter because they don't want him. He might have been their best player on the season outside of Devontae Adams. He's a free agent. You're not re-signing that guy. And have you read the tea leaves right now through social media on Devontae Adams? The only reason I came here to Vegas was because my best friend is Derek Carr. Now he's gone. They ask him at his locker, look, I'm worried about the next two games, which basically means get me through these next two games. My agent will be on the phone with Mark Davis and the Raiders. Get me out of here because I don't want to be here anymore. So now we're square one right now in a very tough division, which if you think the Denver Broncos are going to rebound, where does that leave the Raiders? A three-win team next year? And to your point on Tom Brady, I make this happen. We'll get to see where in a few moments where I think Derek Carr is going to land. But if we think that it's Tom Brady to Vegas, they're going to be in last place next year with Tom Brady. Devontae Adams gone, Jacobs gone, rebuilding friend. Brady's going to want to go there. Has anybody seen Tom Brady play this year? He's been horrendous, and he will be even older next year. I don't know what the Raiders are doing, if they're even thinking about going in Tom Brady's direction.
So I think you're jumping to some assumptions, though. I don't know that Devontae Adams is going to be in a rush to get out of there. Now, he will if they start to tear the franchise down. But in that case, they'll be pushing him out as fast as he's looking to leave. And at that point, then Derek Carr is leaving just because they're getting rid of everybody. And they're going to look at the Tom Brady's of the world, or really any quarterback, right? They might start Jared Stidham the next year and try and win two football games. But the issues of the quality of their division existed this year when they pushed all their chips in to try and be good this year. And the crazy part is, it would have worked if they could hold on to three different 17-plus point leads. Derek Carr would be still playing football if they held on to just one of those leads, because they wouldn't be eliminated from the postseason picture yet. But here we are. And Tom Brady, if, Donnie, they keep Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, Hunter Renfro will all of a sudden be looking at a legitimate pass-catching room. And I don't think the only option on the table, though, is Tom Brady. You're going to hear about Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think what we're also seeing is more and more guys are going to come available as this offseason continues. It's also going to be interesting to see what kind of compensation comes back their way from Derek Carr. Does Derek Carr need to be traded, or could Derek Carr be cut? Derek Carr could be cut for the same exact cap hit that would come with the trade. And it's a light situation. About $5.5 million in dead cap. It's going to save them a ton of money. This is the end of the road for Derek Carr in Vegas. But how many people should be interested? After the break, Donnie and I will tell you the where. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the player, Donnie, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who was presenting Derek Carr to me as if the only season of football he's ever played was this season of football. And maybe all he's ever offered up as a player in his career was the past couple of weeks of his career. I still think this is clearly a quarterback inside the top half of the league with the potential to be a top 10 to 12 quarterback in this sport. I think there's multiple franchises that should be looking at Derek Carr as a legitimate upgrade at the quarterback position.
Yeah, there are. I have six teams listed, which, as you said, we'll give after the break at this point here. But I want to get to the point on what we think Derek Carr is and what he can be. We all have to admit the talent is there. The arm talent is there. Every locker room that he's been in, seeming like they love him. Like Devontae Adams, the reason he wanted to go to Vegas was because of Derek Carr. And if you are a wide receiver, even though he throws a lot of interceptions, he can get you the ball in any route all over the field and throws a beautiful catchable ball. So there's one thing there. But also, the skills haven't been honed yet. In the biggest moments, he has not performed here. You just looked at that game against a couple weird interceptions he throws against the Steelers. But even so, if he doesn't throw those quote-unquote weird interceptions for me, they win that game. They're probably in the playoffs. There's a reason why they're blowing leads, and Derek Carr is a part of that. Is it Josh McDaniel's fault that he couldn't get the best out of him? I'm just surprised from a Josh McDaniel standpoint also. He's not going to make it through next year. He's really not. If you're retooling this team in that division that everybody else is going to retool, you're bottom of the heap once again. He's not going to survive year number two. I'm surprised they didn't run it back, because that's his only chance for lasting in Vegas.
And that's why I don't think they are retooling. I think McDaniels has told some people in that room, we have a quarterback upgrade coming. Where else could McDaniels get that promise? We're sticking with this next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on SportsGrid. I want to stick with the Derek Carr break. We talked about the Raiders and where they could go, because I think that the Tom Brady crumbs are real. I think that they could, worst case scenario, find themselves in the Jimmy Garoppolo mix. I don't think they are tearing it down. That's my current read on the situation. I am sure that Aaron Rodgers has called Devontae Adams to be a pest about Devontae's decision. To be fair to Aaron, he has every right to make that phone call, because Devontae Adams left for stability, and he's now out of the playoffs playing meaningless football games with Jared Stidham, and Derek Carr is going to be out of Vegas next season. Nevertheless, though, we take a look at what could be next, or where, more specifically, could be next for Derek Carr. I think there's a list of teams that are obvious. I think there's a list of teams that are maybe asking themselves, hold on a minute, should we be taking a look at Derek Carr instead of standing pat with what's currently in our building? We'll talk a lot about plenty of teams, Donnie, but give me the one team that rings to mind for you the most when you see now that Derek Carr is likely to be available this offseason.
I have a 1 and a 1A, and I have a couple teams on the outside. So I'm going to do it on the opposite here for you, Kevin. I'm going to go to the teams that might have a little bit of interest, and then we'll sort of narrow it down to who makes the most sense. I actually think the Miami Dolphins are a legitimate spot now. If you take a look at Tua Tagovailoa, it's clear right now inside that Dolphins, stratosphere of people making decisions, they know Tua can't be there long term. It doesn't make any sense. Once you get this many concussions, it's going to hamper you down the line. You can't sign Tua. He can't be your franchise guy. So you have two absolute Ferraris at wide receiver. receiver and you need a quarterback that can spin it, Derek Carr would be perfect there. The Commanders also pop up on my radar screen as well. I don't think Carson Wentz is in their future plans. He could fit there. And then also the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have to move on from Tom Brady. If you need somebody that can spin it, that's a little bit younger, I think Carr makes sense. But now, if we want to get into that sweet spot here, now the joke is going to be also on the Indianapolis Colts for me. They just love a veteran out there. Bring him in here for a look-see next year. If I'm Carr, I'm not going anywhere near that situation, which lands me to two teams that play in the same stadium, Kevin. That is the New York Jets, and that is the New York Giants. Now, if you get Derek Carr on the Jets, they will make the playoffs next year. If you get Derek Carr on the Giants within 2 to 3 years with Dable, they are going to be hell on wheels and might challenge for an NFC championship with money, head coaching, and rebuilding that entire organization. I say this right now, as an NFC East fan of a team, please keep Derek Carr away from the Giants. Just go on your merry way. You guys love Daniel Jones. Sign him to a 13-year Carlos Correa-type deal, and I never have to deal with it again. I am just saying this right now as an NFC East fan. Please keep Derek Carr off of the Giants. There, said my piece.
Well, the interesting thing is I've had conversations with multiple Giants fans who want the same thing as you because they don't have any trust in their roster. Despite the fact that they're 8-6-1 with this roster.
Amazing.
With this quarterback, with the thought that everything around it should improve, they don't seem to be all that interested in Derek Carr, which is a bit puzzling to me because Derek Carr is twice the quarterback that Daniel Jones is. But I do think the perfect landing spot seems to be the other New York team in the Jets. The Jets have a difficult decision to make optically, but an easy one to make practically. In moving on from Zach Wilson. We all know that that's what has to happen. But it's not the easiest thing in the world to move off the number two overall pick 2 years into his career. It's really not. Especially when the people moving off of him are all staying, right? In Joe Douglas and, of course, Robert Saleh. So because of that, if you have to do that, it's much better to do it by bringing in a splashy, what feels like high-level quarterback. Now, the Lamar of, you know, this situation may not come available, even though I think there's a world it can, and I've talked about it a lot this season. But I don't think the Jets can afford to wait around for that. I also think if you're the Jets, banking on Tom Brady, maybe not as enticing because this is a young football team. Your Garrett Wilson's, the returning Breece Hall's on the other side of the football, Sauce Gardner. This is a young core. So pairing that with a 46-year-old quarterback might not be the best move. But there is nobody that is going to debate Zach Wilson versus Derek Carr. There were people that would have their doubts on the Mike Whites of the world. And to some degree, I get it, because Mike White doesn't have the pedigree. It's been here and there with Mike White. The better the defense, the worse we see from Mike White. It's understandable. No Jets fan is going to see Derek Carr step to the podium and think anything other than AFC East, here we come. Because, look, they're going to get excited about it. The thing is, this current 7-8 Jets with Derek Carr would be competing for the AFC crown. Not the AFC East crown, the AFC crown. That's how good they've been this year in every single capacity. The nice thing for the Jets, though, as I've learned here, which is pretty impressive, is most of their base seems to be ready to move off of their disaster quarterback after 2 years, and somehow Giants fans, after 5 years of this trash, are unwilling because he threw for 300 yards against the Vikings, who, quite frankly, I could give at least $1.92, certainly more than Malik Willis. I don't know what the Giants are actually going to do at quarterback because the questions seem to be there, but the Jets' landing spot, Donnie, is all too perfect.
Now, Daniel Jones, you can franchise tag him if you're the Giants, but here's the fun part about this. Derek Carr hasn't played well this year. The minute Derek Carr gets benched, it lights up the board with how many teams he could go to and make a difference. Here's what I don't hear out here on Daniel Jones. oh man, the Jets could get Daniel Jones next year. Has any Jets fan even mumbled that? Like, oh, if we could just get Daniel Jones and move over the hump. Or if Derek Carr is moving on from the Raiders, oh man, Raiders fans, we would love to get Daniel Jones in here. Or how about Tampa Bay moving on from Brady? Hey, Daniel Jones down to Tampa Bay. There's not a single person out here that hears Daniel Jones' name and goes, that would be the guy I want for my franchise, except from some few Giants fans out here. Now, granted, again, the best Christmas present you could ever give me is a long-term contract for Daniel Jones to the Giants, because there is no upside on that whatsoever. Sure, you're going to win games. He'll run around there. He won't make any big plays, and you'll be at your 8-9 wins, and Brian Daboll's going to pull whatever hair he has out of his head to get those teams into the playoffs. I hear you. But that's the counter argument. When a guy is about to become loose, when 10 franchises, their fan bases go up and say, we could use this guy, why do we never hear anything about Daniel Jones where any other franchise but the New York Giants could use him?
Oh, I don't know. I apparently, this is what happens when you play the Minnesota Vikings secondary.
And loose?
So, yeah. Well, but let me just also then quickly add this, and then we'll talk about other teams. Taylor Heineke threw for 149 yards against that football team, as if people are still trying to figure out why Carson Wentz is that quarterback. Let's move on, though. Because you mentioned a list of other teams that make sense. There was one team off your list that I think we should talk a little bit more about. And then we can get back to the list. The Carolina Panthers. The Panthers were supposed to draft a quarterback basically every year that Matt Rhule was there. They impressively never did that, except for that in the late, late rounds, they're like, well, we're going to steal Matt Corral. This is going to be great. And that didn't work out. Corral got injured, and obviously they still played. The tough thing for Corral is he would have played this year because everybody got injured in front of him. But nevertheless, they've rolled it out with P.J. Walker. They've rolled it out with Baker. They rolled it out with Sam Darnold. The Panthers are going to flirt with winning this division. They have a huge game this week against Tampa Bay that could very well be the decider in the entire thing. If the Panthers are serious, though, about keeping Steve Wilks, which I think they are, and I kind of understand, then you kind of already have the defensive side of it, Donnie, figured out. Are you sure you want to then go young quarterback, who you might say to yourself, oh, we'll have him sit behind Darnold for the first month of the season? The Panthers have been they tried very desperately to get in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. Isn't that a team that you would anticipate makes a legitimate push towards Derek Carr?
It's the tough part about the NFL, right? You love the job that Wilkes is doing. I'm sure Tepper appreciates it. Hey, we're not a laughing stop here. Thank you for that. You'll probably be my head coach in the future. But at the same time, you got to be sitting back and thinking, it's going to be a wasted year. If we don't win the division, we blew everything up. And next year, we're going to be on that same NFL treadmill where we can't get our young quarterback. We'll try to make it happen with a veteran guy. Our roster isn't nearly there. And let alone, we're going to get 7 to 8 wins, miss the playoffs, and back on this same treadmill as we talk about. Typically in the NBA, right? Either you're really good or you're really bad. If you're in the middle, that really hurt you. And that's where the Carolina Panthers are finding right now. From a coaching standpoint, coaches always want to save their job, and so do GMs. So if you told Steve Wilks next year, hey, by the way, we're going to get you Derek Carr, we might make a playoff push. You're like, hey, sign me up. I think I can make this defense happen. We can win enough games. And as long as I get to the playoffs, my job is going to be safe. Or you sell them on the fact, hey, by the way, we're going to bring back Sam Darnold next year. See if you can do the same magic you did this year. I don't know how you sell a head coach on that, but it's certainly, as long as you make that financially feasible for a coach, hey, 5 years, $50 million, I'll do whatever you want as the owner. Okay, but I don't agree. They're too good this year, Kevin, to improve their team next year, if that makes sense, unless they catch lightning in a bottle with a random veteran quarterback.
Which is exactly why I think Derek Carr could make sense for that football team, as opposed to trying the Will Levis experience. I think you listed off a lot of interesting teams. We know the Commanders are very likely to be trying to change the quarterback position. I'll say this quickly on the Colts. Derek Carr's 31. Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers were not 31 when they got there. You know who the young quarterback was? Wentz. And went 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and they were a win away from going to the playoffs. I think Derek Carr would also make sense in Indianapolis. The Miami situation, though, is very interesting. We're going to talk about Tua and his status heading into this week and where the Dolphins stand in the picture next, right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A lot of questions around the quarterback position in the NFL heading into week 17, which is hardly surprising, I feel like, with the way this year's gone. The one in Miami is the biggest question, though. We have the answer as to who's going to start this week, but we don't know who's going to start next week. We don't know who might start if they make the playoffs, and to some degree, as Donnie alluded to, we don't really know who's going to be their starter next season either. Tua ends up with a concussion again. And for the second time, apparently the Miami Dolphins had absolutely no idea. DRS, you were kind of, you know, explaining to me, and then I was able to see it for myself. The way this all lined up against Green Bay is two of the Dolphins scored 20 points in the first half against the Green Bay Packers. Looked absolutely unstoppable, well on their way to 35-plus points in that football game. And then Tua took a nasty hit at the very end of the second quarter, and they were shut out in the second half. You know, we talk about, oh, you know, we got to protect players from themselves. I feel like Tua has to be protected from whatever the heck is going on in Miami. I mean, do they have anybody paying attention to the scenario? Wouldn't you think that they would have somebody at this point watching every single step that Tua Tagovailoa takes, no matter whether he's on a football field or off the football field? It is a shame what is happening to this guy. It is very well going to be able to tank the Miami season, but forget that for a moment here. It feels as if Tua Tagovailoa's career is in jeopardy.
Yeah, it's the gladiator mentality of the NFL. And also, I know it's hard to do. You're supposed to self-report this stuff, right? But put yourself in these shoes. We're trying to make the playoffs here. I might have taken a hit right there, but I feel okay. Self-reported, Teddy comes in, they win, you're out of a job. And I know this sounds, oh, Donnie, you can't mess with your health and your career. Understand, these are young guys that have been built up their entire careers through, you know, grade school, middle school, high school, and college to be the man and be a leader, and how it feels to let your team down by not being out there. We'll start with that. But also, secondarily here, this is also a mercenary type of business. If this, you know, let's just say management staff and coaching staff, if you can just get away with, ah, he might be concussed, but he looks like he's okay. Well, we really need to win this game because my job depends on it. Maybe I'll look the other direction. That also happens as well. But also, let's get to the key point here. He's taken some devastating hits this year. We're talking about Tua Tagovailoa. Maybe he's just in a constant state of not feeling right for weeks, but that's the new normal, Kevin, for him, where he actually doesn't know if he's concussed or not because every day feels the same. Maybe a little buzzing in the head, a little bit of headache. Oh, it's the new normal for me, and this is what the problem is. But the thing that I'm getting out of the Miami Dolphins, which doesn't make any sense, is McDaniel went back and said, you know what, I'm watching the tape and I didn't think something was right, so I talked to Tua and told him to get checked out. You didn't watch that football game? And when he came over to the sidelines going, hey, buddy, we have all the film right here. What are you looking at? You don't sound right here. Maybe you should get you checked out. I don't know, right here on the sideline. I don't know who's watching. And I even joked on Twitter yesterday. Is it time for the NFL to do what the PGA Tour apparently allows? I can sit on my couch and say, ooh, looks like that golf ball moved. Let me call the hotline. Because it's apparent where you have people on Twitter posting the exact moment they think he got the concussion, but no doctor or spotter in the stadium was even paying attention. What are we doing here?
Yeah, it's really bad. It's really, really bad. And again, it leaves a lot of questions because now you unfortunately have the questions of, can Tua hold up for a full season? Should Tua even be trying to do this? Concussions are very serious. I think it would be. I quite frankly do not care what protocols Tua clears. I think it would be a very big mistake to see Tua Tagovailoa play again this season. So we've got Teddy Bridgewater going to New England. They are a field goal underdog now, the Miami Dolphins. They were supposed to be a field goal favorite. That is a big swing, though, for what is supposed to be one of the better backup quarterbacks the league has to offer. What do you make of this 3-point line that we're seeing here?
I actually cut out there a second there, Kevin. Which game was were you teeing up?
So with the Teddy Bridgewater setup here, now that this was supposed to be -3 for the Miami Dolphins or close to it, right? Now that we've flipped this around the other direction, it shows that there's no longer that trust in Teddy Bridgewater that I think was once there for. Well, maybe that trust will be there for some bettors this week, but from the odds makers, it doesn't seem like that trust is there as they're now a full field goal underdog here in New England.
No, it's not, and you're right, and it's a great concept that you brought up here, because let's just say we didn't see Teddy Bridgewater at all this season. Tua Tagovailoa was completely healthy, right? And Teddy Bridgewater wasn't injured, never got any concussions, anything. And you said this week to me, hey, by the way, Tua just got another concussion. He was able to fight through it in the past, but Teddy Bridgewater is going to be able to play this football game. I wouldn't be so downtrodden on the Miami Dolphins, and quite frankly, I'd say, I'm not so sure, Kevin, they might even miss a beat with Teddy for a game or two because of what I saw in the past couple of years where he was a fill-in quarterback on not-so-great football teams. But now I did see Teddy Bridgewater this year get a little bit dinged up, get a little bit injured, not look all that, you know, great of a performance in the games that he's been in. So I see this line switch from a favorite to the Miami Dolphins and over now to a favorite to the New England Patriots. And I don't even like the Patriots. I don't like anything the Patriots do on offense, but I'm sort of believing in this line going, even with all of that talent on the offense, I'm not so sure Teddy, who's looked so good in the past in that reserve role, I can even go into this game with a lot of confidence.
And I think that's understandable. We used to do the target player props last season, which were a lot of fun. We just haven't had as much time this year. I cannot wait to see what the Tyreek Hill numbers are, because if these Tyreek Hill numbers are dropping because it's Teddy Bridgewater, we're at the window. The game against Cincinnati where Teddy played nearly the entire thing, 10 catches, 14 targets, 160 yards. Then we had Teddy Bridgewater out there against Minnesota. Yeah, 12 catches, 15 targets, 177 yards. So Teddy Bridgewater's going to go out there. He's going to drop back to pass, and about every single chance he gets, he's going to throw it to Tyreek Hill. That is something that I'm absolutely looking for this week. Another spot where we have a quarterback question. Rodgers did not practice with a knee. Now, Rodgers said it's fine, I'm playing, and I think he will. But it adds now. And I'll tell you, I've seen enough from Rodgers this year to know that the next time he skies a football over Alan Lazard's head, you know, post-game, they'll be like, yeah, it's just hard to move off of that knee. They are a full field goal favorite against the Minnesota Vikings, but this was 3.5. And I don't know if that movement is being a situation people are buying in on Minnesota, or maybe people are wondering about, I don't know about the Green Bay Packers here in this spot. Any concern on Rodgers' health for you?
Not really, because he's been known to play through a lot, but you're right about it. It just seems like it compounds now. It used to be in the past where he never heard about Rodgers' injuries. Now every week we're hearing about it. It seems like he's telling you about it to let him know how good he is and how much he's fighting through just so the Packers can make a playoff run. But having said that, Joe Ranieri yesterday brought up a pretty good point on this game, because I look at this and say, now hold on. The Green Bay Packers are a good football team. The Minnesota Vikings actually won that division, and now this line is probably creeping up and maybe getting closer to 4 as we get close to game time. What gives? Well, actually, if the Philadelphia Eagles end up beating the New Orleans Saints at 1 o'clock, the Minnesota Vikings can no longer get that number one overall seed. Now, I'm not saying here, Kevin, you are preparing to win. You still have a week to go. You don't get the bye week. You can't just take off 2 weeks here for the Vikings and say, okay, we don't care about football anymore. But at the same time, this is a rivalry game. But also, does this maybe change a little bit of what you're looking to do? Is Justin Jefferson going to get 15 targets in this game? Is Dalvin Cook going to run 30 times or have 25 touches if you need him to win? That's where it starts to creep in here, where I want to watch and see where this line goes. And also, maybe one of those games where you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook and bet it midway through and they go, hey, by the way, Dalvin Cook's only played 13 snaps here total in the first 3 quarters. There's probably a reason for that. So it's a very interesting game to look forward to. We usually don't have to talk about this until week 18 or the final week of the season, but now we're starting to look at some of these ridiculous options. Like, well, what happens if a 1 o'clock team, does the second team play? Because you know the Minnesota Vikings the same way the Jacksonville Jaguars are playing. Oh, no. It's a game we have to play. When in the back of their mind going, well, I have to say that to my players so they actually prepare for the game. But once we get to the game, how much they play, that might be a question mark.
I think, well, what's also super interesting right now in the NFC, we talk about, you know, seeding, and I know, careful what you wish for, blah, 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 blah. I got you, okay? Well, if you're Minnesota and you sit at the 2 seed, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have to play Detroit. But if you're Minnesota and you fall back to the 3 seed and Green Bay gets in at the 7 and you're playing Daniel Jones again and you send Aaron Rodgers to San Fran to go against Brock Purdy, I don't know. Things look a little different all of a sudden there. It's a weird situation that I don't think has been talked about a ton, but Minnesota Vikings might not actually be doing themselves a disservice to, lose one of these one-score games, try and get that out of the way before the playoffs come around. Not intentionally, of course. I'm just saying it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest if Minnesota laid down in Week 18 and handed the Chicago Bears a victory and said, yeah. We're not playing Green Bay or Detroit. The Niners can have fun with that, and they can keep going out there and rocking teams. We're good. We'll play Daniel Jones once again. We've also got – which one do we go with here? I think we should probably talk about the Jalen Hurts latest news. Because yesterday, Dan Graziano of ESPN said that there's an idea around the Eagles organization that – they don't know how the injury could impact Jalen Hurts as we get to the playoffs. Maybe I'm a little naive here, Donnie. But my reaction to this was, duh, of course. I didn't take this. Of course they don't know. He is very unlikely to play before then. So it is just one big question mark. It's a upper body injury on a quarterback. So I didn't take this as a reason to all of a sudden say shift the birds to the second option in the NFC. And I've never thought he was playing this week against the New Orleans Saints.
No, and he certainly wasn't going to. And the fact that, we didn't show up at Wednesday. We're getting the same thing from Nick Sirianni that we got last week. He's tough. He might be there Sunday. He's not going to be there Sunday. The only time he's going to be there Sunday is maybe next Sunday if they actually have to win the football game and they can't risk it and say, well, hey, if he gets injured again, this number one overall seed is more important to us. But I bet you there's still a faction inside the Eagles organization that says, as long as you have a healthy Jalen Hurts, even if we lose the number one overall seed, that's all that matters. If you get a healthy Hurts, completely 100%, if he doesn't need to play and we end up with the second or third seed, there's still a legitimate chance you can make it to the Super Bowl. And I do believe that. But having said that, they do want to wrap it up. And I think they do this week. But also, again, I love this. I love the betting markets, Kevin. And this is what it's so much fun to talk about and go back and forth on. You're telling me, right? Because being in the know doesn't mean we sit in the building with the meetings with Sirianni and Howie Roseman. Oh, that's the medicals? Okay, now I know exactly what we're talking about here. But any sane individual, was anybody believing that Nick Sirianni was going to play Jalen Hurts this week? Ooh, 7. Yes. Oh, he's definitely playing. He's going to play. Looks like he's not at practice. Oh, no. Can't take the Eagles 5.5 now. Did anybody go, I jumped the gun figuring that Hurts was playing? What? We know he's not playing. He's not playing this week. Why are these lines going from 7-6 to 5.5 to 7-6 to 5.5 based on him not showing up to practice? I got words of advice. Yeah. The same way he handled hamstring injuries. Jalen Hurts won't play this weekend, so bet accordingly, people.
Yeah, I think DRS is spot on there. And I think Gardner Minshew should be able to do enough to get a victory here for the Eagles at home against the Saints team that's been very bad on the road. Lamar's also still not practicing. Lamar's not playing this week. So, tell you what, we'll talk about Lamar
next. Yes, please.
As we close out this opening hour right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's close it out here. Lamar Jackson still not practicing for the Baltimore Ravens. And I don't think the question is this Sunday, DRS. It's now, will he play against the Cincinnati Bengals? If that game is not for the division, the answer is obviously no. But if it is, what do we think Baltimore ultimately then makes the decision to do?
And let's also get a little bit of a background information on what's going on here with Lamar Jackson. Knee injury, 1 to 3 weeks. We don't know when he's going to be back, but sometime that time frame, Lamar's a pretty tough guy. He'll be back sooner than later. We don't see anything from Lamar Jackson. Now, I preface this by going all the way back to August, when Lamar Jackson missed a mini camp or the start of training camp, and John Harbaugh didn't end up covering for him. Hey, where's Lamar? You got to ask him. Ask him next question. Ooh, that's interesting. Usually that's not the case here between those two. And now you got a press conference yesterday, Kevin, where John Harbaugh was asked directly, hey, by the way, is this a PCL strain or a sprain? Yeah, I'm just coaching the guys that are out here. Next question. Something is really off here. Is this communication back channeling going, yeah, you guys didn't want to pay me what I was worth? I'm going to sit this one out because I want to get paid at this point. As opposed to if he was already signed under contract, they were happy with it. I think Lamar Jackson probably would be out there sooner than later. That's where I'm starting with this conversation, Kevin.
I get it. I think those conversations have been opened up, but I think that if you're the Ravens, it's an odd spot to be in a way. Forget the right. You'd only want to play him if it's necessary. And so far, it has not been necessary. The most important part of this is going to be getting to the playoffs. Does somewhere in the room in Baltimore, are they hoping that they're eliminated from the division crown by the time this whole thing runs around here and we get to, you know, week 18 and they go, hey, the division's not on the line anyway. We're not going to play anybody. I don't know. I don't know what the Ravens are looking for right now. Currently 10-5. They could fall back to 10-6, you know, to 10-7. Are they going as a 3 seed? There's a lot up in the air still in the AFC. We start hour 2 in the NBA.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.